Welcome to the Banking on Business podcast presented by Horicon Bank. Banking on Business is aimed at helping entrepreneurs grow their business with practical strategies you can start using today. We are all about engaging our local business community and connecting with other small businesses to raise each other up. Hosted by yours truly, Grace Bruins, marketing officer at Horicon Bank, turned podcaster, at least for the next 20 minutes. Welcome to the Banking on Business podcast. Today we are talking entrepreneurship, small business ownership, and sports. And I've got a special co-host to help me do it. Welcome, Joe Venhuizen. You're here from Envision Greater Fond du Lac.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. And you're going to help me out today because we are talking to the expert on all things sports cards related. And I think you've got a special knowledge there that I may not. So,
well, I have a lot of tattered sports cards that are still in our parents' home.
Probably in a plastic bag.
Yeah, they're in a Ziploc. Mm-hmm. They're completely valueless, but it was a fun time in my life. It served, a few years as a fun pastime. Yeah. Sorry, Tom. I didn't keep them in mint condition at all. There's nothing left to them.
Well, welcome, Tom Kolcheski. Got it right on the first try. That's important. Thank you. Tom, you're the owner of Real Sports Cards in Waupun, Wisconsin. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what it is that Real Sports Cards does?
Sure. I own Real Sports Cards downtown Waupun with my wife, Michelle. We also have a store in Champlin, Minnesota that my friend owns. We started in 2016 as an online group break. And what an online group break, it's still the core business that we do. Essentially, is if you take a case of, we'll say, baseball cards, and let's just say that case of baseball cards has 12 boxes, and let's just say each box retails for $300. So we take that $3,600 and we would divide it. We go through a checklist and divide it how much a team would represent a share of that. So let's just say that $3,600, the Yankees have a lot of really nice checklist for that product. Let's say they're maybe $300. So we'd consider them that share of it. Let's just say the Brewers have a lesser checklist, and let's just say they would represent maybe like $45 of that. So essentially you sell all the teams before, and then you break or open the case live on video. And so it's a way for collectors to collect just their team without having to buy a box or a case and doing it. So that's the core of our business. We also have a brick and mortar store in our building downtown Waupun, where you can buy packs, boxes, some memorabilia, some singles of football, basketball, baseball, and Pokemon.
Wow.
So, and I would say with our growth started in 2016, between our online business and our in-person store, we are the largest seller of Topps baseball cards in the country. Our location with Pawn and all the online, we're easily the largest seller of sports cards in the state of Wisconsin.
Wow. That's pretty awesome. We're going to get more into the business details in a little bit. So I'm first going to start out with allowing our listeners to get to know you a little bit better with a rapid fire intro to the expert. So I'm going to ask a couple questions. We'll ask them quickly. And whenever you're ready.
Let's go.
All right. So where are you from, Tom?
I was born in Erie, Pennsylvania. But we moved when I was 2 years old to Monmouth, Illinois. Population about 10,000, very small town. Near the Mississippi River, near Iowa and Missouri is where I grew up.
Okay. So what's the best part of your job?
I haven't had a job in like 4 years. I don't feel like I work. Truly the best part is there's not many bad parts about it. Being able to work with my wife is fun. Being able to have a really good staff is, I don't really consider them a staff. Like basically I feel like friends that we work with. Being able to set my own schedule, that sounds fun, but I work all the time, so it's not that fun. I get to travel a lot for work, and sharing that with our oldest son, Trent, he's done a lot of business trips, and that's pretty fun, too.
Very cool. So what's your favorite sport?
Baseball, without a doubt.
If you could have dinner with any athlete, dead or alive, who would it be?
That's a good question, because I've had dinner with a lot of people that I would comment on that.
I don't think you'll offend them. If you choose it.
Well, I would have said I grew up a huge Ryan Sandberg fan, but I've had dinner with Ryan Sandberg. He's a really nice guy.
The safe bet is to choose a dead one.
A dead one?
Then you don't offend anyone.
Well, it'd be Jackie Robinson.
Easily. Oh, sure.
Jackie Robinson.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. And last one, where's your favorite place to get coffee?
Now I could offend people on that one.
Watch it. Watch it.
So I do drink a lot of coffee. You know what? I'll say at home and have a cup of coffee with my wife in either our sunroom or the back patio.
That is the sweetest answer. I like that.
I can't offend anyone. No,
there you go.
No, there's some great coffee places in Waupun, though.
Yeah, there are. And actually, that brings us into our marketing minute. So you're a coffee guy, you're a sports guy. So I picked out a marketing story that has both of those. A few years ago, the Seattle Seahawks and a little chain called Starbucks, I don't know if you guys have heard of them, they teamed up for a social marketing campaign that was wildly successful. The Washington State brand giants teamed up to co-brand cup sleeves, so coffee cup sleeves, that not only looked like Seahawks jerseys, but featured a snap code. So this allowed Seahawks fans to access exclusive content on Snapchat that was just by scanning that code on their cup. And what's interesting about why this campaign worked so well is because the brands really analyzed their audience's lifestyle, because who doesn't have a coffee in one hand and their phone in the other? Just made sense to put the two together. So really simple, but really effective way for the Seahawks to include a sponsor such as Starbucks, but then also have that cross marketing. So kind of fun story.
That's cool.
All right, let's get into Tom's story a little bit here with Real Sports Cards got started. So how did you get started into sports cards?
Sure. Always grew up in the 80s and collected cards, kind of like you said, Joe, and big sports fan in college. I went to college at Illinois State University, worked in summers in minor league baseball, and then worked for the Oakland A's in Arizona at their spring training site for a little over a year, and then got a quote-unquote like real job with the Timber Rattlers. And I was the director of operations, so any facility-wise, any like grounds crew-wise, any team operations. Really, really enjoyed that job. And during that time, met a guy. You meet a lot of people around the ballpark, and I was talking to a guy one time, and he's like, hey, you want to go to this baseball card convention? It's like, all right. So it's actually, the guy is Ryan McGinnis. He's the Kimberly baseball coach now. He was then at that time too. So he took me down to Chicago to this big sports card convention, and I was like, oh, this is awesome. So I kind of, that was kind of the hook that I started collecting more. And then working in baseball, you get to meet different players. That was cool to get autographs on their card and different things like that. We worked one more year. I worked for the Timber Rattlers for 5 years in that job. And then I got a job in Allentown, Pennsylvania. We're building a new stadium, the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs. My wife and I moved out there. The job was cool. I hated living there, to be honest. And we just like, all right, well, you don't make much money in minor league baseball. It's a horribly paying job. It's really fun, though. But if you want to have a, family and things like that. And so I found a school district job in Fort Atkinson for the school district of Fort Atkinson. Loved the job, awesome people, awesome community. So we moved there. We're all settled in. We just bought a house. It was spring of 2016. Bought a really nice house. My wife worked for the school district also. I was a buildings and grounds director. Life was good. And then she was pregnant with our fourth, and we found out, pre-birth that he would have some major heart defects. So we knew she had to take off of work to be home, through heart surgeries and all that care. We also know that we didn't make enough money. And so I started flipping baseball cards online, and I met a guy online, like through Facebook and, different social media that sold baseball cards. His name is Ryan, and he was looking to kind of do something too, more with cards. And so we started a group break. And so we started an online group breaks. And so it was called Real Breaks to start. And so that was fall of 2016. I work at night. And so 2017, I worked basically my day job. And then I would start doing this job, quote unquote, job side hustle, most nights starting around 7 o'clock at night. And I tell people, and this is true, like I set two alarms on my phone. I set a 2 a.m. alarm and a 6:30 a.m. alarm. And the 2 a.m. alarm was to stop working and go to bed. And the 6:30 was to wake up and start working and go to regular work. And I was doing like the online breaking, the sorting, the shipping, selling everything myself. My wife would help with sort, and that was nice. Like after the kids would go to bed. And so then 2018, I was doing the math, and I'm like, well, I honestly think I could make more money if I didn't go to work. I thought I could sell more cards at night than ship them during the day. And we were getting to a point, our son Malik had, so he was born in the, actually the day the Cubs won the World Series, the fall of 2016. And then in January 2017, he had his surgery, his major heart surgery in Madison. Successful, but it's a lot. And he also happens to have Down syndrome. So that's a lot goes in all that. And so we knew that we needed to be around family support. And my wife's family was about an hour and a half away, near Waupun in Lamira. And my mother was actually really sick, and she was dying of cancer, too, at that time, too. So it was a strange time in our life, and we needed to make some major changes. So I quit my job in 2018. I quit a really good-paying school district job with full benefits, full retirement. You know, it was really set. Could have lived fine the rest of our life there. We sold our house. We moved into an apartment in Lamira. So we had four kids, two dogs, and a business, and we lived in a three-bedroom apartment. And so, but it never, at the time, it just seemed logical to do because I always knew, I knew this business could be big and I had a passion for it. And I was pretty, very confident in myself. And so then in 2018, we sold our house in the fall in Fort Atkinson. So when we moved to that apartment, we still owned a house in Fort Atkinson.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it wasn't like today where houses sell in a day. You know, it took a couple months.
That's good because you had a lot of kids. You'd probably just throw some of them back down there, right?
Yeah.
Or the dogs.
Yeah. No, we were all in it together. Man. So we're very close. So, yeah, so we started building a house. We built a house in Brownsville, and we moved in June of 2019. And at that time, the idea, I was... You know, starting a business, I actually thought was easy if you were knowledgeable and passionate about it. And at the business, it was really only me and then my wife would help. And so we're still doing, we're selling a lot of cards, a ton of cards at the time. But I always based it off of what I could do. And then in the summer, I started missing everything with our kids. Like, to be honest, like 2017, 2018, 2019, like, I mean, I might as well have been working in Europe. Like, you're not around, you're in the house, but you're in the basement, you're working all the time. So I'm like, well, how do we free up a little time? So I hired actually two high school girls would sort cards in the summer, and that was nice to have a little bit of that relief. And then we had some part-time help in the fall of 2019, and then COVID happened. It's like, oh no, like I sell baseball, like the world's going to hell, right? Mm-hmm. And well, believe it or not, 2020, when it happened, like a lot of online businesses really, really took off. It was a good and a bad thing is the price of cards, the boxes and stuff, it's very high. And it's come down a little bit, but it's still much higher than pre-COVID levels. So that was good, like revenue side, but it sucked because like I couldn't have employees come into the house now. And so this business is growing. So we started actually having some people come into our house in the summer of 2020. Just because I couldn't keep up. Like, people talk about COVID, how great it was, how, not great, but how they were able to stay home and rediscover and be with their family. Like, I literally worked 19 hours a day, every day of the week, and just went to town. And so, yeah, it was difficult. And then we knew in the fall of 2020, we had to move it out of our house. So I bought the building in downtown Waupun, 324 East Main. And so that old building... So the upstairs, it's two floors. Each floor is about 3,000 square feet. The upstairs is a disaster. I mean, it's literally full of garbage. The main floor, there's two tenants, and there's two offices in the back. When I bought the building, I always envisioned that we could make the upstairs our e-commerce site, but I didn't think we needed it at the time. And so we had two offices on the main floor. So I actually would do the online stuff at home in that fall, and then I would take it there, and then I had three workers then at the time. They're all working about maybe like 15 to 20 hours a week. So they would sort and ship the cards out of there. So that was in 2020. Well, it just started going gangbusters. And then actually where we live in Brownsville, the internet all of a sudden just got, it was horrible. Like I couldn't do our streaming there. So I actually moved. I was forced in December of 2020 to move all the online stuff over to Waupun because we have really good internet there. So that changed things. And then things just started going busier and busier. And I knew we had to do something big. So I said, let's go. And so we remodeled the upstairs. And it's pretty nice now. You guys have been there. And if anyone's listening, stop by. So it's about 3,000 square feet. So I hired Excel Engineering out of Fond du Lac to do it. It included a new roof. We had, all new windows. I mean, it's completely different. And it's nice. And so up there, we have what we have now. We have, I have an office. My wife has an office. We have a breaking studio. We have a conference room with a big skylight. And then we have about 1,000 square foot area. We have five employees now that sort and ship cards out of there. And then we have a back area, about 1,200 square feet. It's kind of a hangout area. We have people that will come and open boxes up there. But it happens so, so fast. And when you look back on it, you're like, good Lord. But we're doing a lot more now. And I think the next 5 years will be even bigger than the first five. But going through that, you know, if you're saying like, if this is like geared toward entrepreneur, honestly, starting a business was a piece of cake. That was nothing. Growing the business at first was nothing, as long as you know your product. And I was warned about this by a friend of mine, and he was right in saying when there's a point of time in the last probably 12 months that it went from, hey, this can feed the family to like, this is a legit business. Like this is, you need to make some changes to either your, you know, hiring an accounting firm, hiring that, doing and stop doing stuff yourself. So like people tell me, they'll ask me like, Tom, what do you do during the day? And I kind of laugh because like we're really blessed to like have a really good crew. And so we have people that sort and ship that take care of that. We have a guy that does most of the online breaking. I still do a little bit of it because I like it, but we have a guy that he's better than me, to be honest with you. He does that. We, you know, so I try to stay out of the way. I do all of our purchasing, which requires, it's a full-time job in itself. I mean, we have a guy that his full-time job is to bring in, to unbox stuff and to keep up on pricing of stuff in our store. So we had to have a store. We don't sell a lot out of it, to be honest. Like we sell some, but we need the inventory for our online stuff. So we sell a lot of Pokemon. It's actually pretty incredible. But when I say we don't sell a lot, we sell, for an average small town retail store, we probably sell a lot. But compared to our online business, we don't sell much. So, but going back to this, like how now making a legit business and probably how we got connected with, you know, I'll give you a little shout out with Horicon. Like I met with different business or banks and I guess I'm to a point where I don't feel like I need to justify to someone that our business can be profitable and we can be good. And I kind of got sick of that with other banks. To feel like I always had to justify my business. And when I met with the folks at Horicon, it was completely different and it was good. And so it was like, they like, oh yeah, we know what your business is. Like, you're kicking butt. Like, we want to be part. And I was like, all right, let's go. And that's really how it started. And it was very refreshing and very different to other experiences.
That still has to be one of the first reactions you get, though, from folks that find out what it is you do. And then say, oh, what a cool hobby, right? Or how does that make money? You told me a story about your kid in school with the assignment of what do you want to be when you grow up? And the instructor sent the paper back, right? Mm-hmm. Am I getting that story right?
Pretty much. He said he wanted to open Pokemon cards online. He said, no, like, what do you want to do for a job?
Yeah.
But, you know, to your point, though, you get that some. But I don't – this is going to sound arrogant – but I've tried to like just people that are doubters and that can't see that, I don't include them in my life anymore. There's so much positive forces. And I think like when I started this business and wanted to go full time, you had a lot of people like that. And I don't even care what they say anymore. I used to really care and feel like I had to convince people. I'm like, I don't care, you know? And I think, and I got that way with banks, to be honest. Like I used to be real concerned. I had another bank that, oh, well, who would have thought? I'm like, me, dude. Like, that's why I risked everything. Like, that's why I sold our house. That's why we moved to an apartment. Because, like, I thought.
Yeah,
exactly.
Now, I'll be honest. I thought it would take 10 years to get to where we're at. But I think it kind of a, I don't want to say a small town mentality, because you can have big picture anywhere. But, like, I mean, people will say that. I have a neighbor all the time. And he's like, I wouldn't imagine. I'm like, yeah. That's why you're working 60 hours a week at the mill. Like, because I did imagine it. And, yeah. And so, it, yeah, and I, even like my own family, not my wife always believed in me and their kids, but I'm saying like extended family. And I used to like try to justify, I'm like, I don't need to justify to anyone mm-hmm. what I do. So yeah, it's fun. When people like get to know our business, the people that have like a business mind get to know it, they're like, this is genius. And people always say, you always hear someone's like, well, I know someone that makes $10,000 a month on TikTok. I'm like, yeah, me too. I know people that do that. Like, we have a guy that sells thousands and thousands of dollars a week of Pokemon cards on TikTok that works out of our place. Like, yeah, I know. Like, those places exist, and, like, why not be it? You know, I was lucky enough to grow up with a family that, I mean, I grew up in a very, very small town, but I always had parents that push was like, you know, on career day, don't limit yourself. Like, don't think, like, you got to do what your mom does or you got to do what your dad does. I always tell kids, when an adult asks you, what do you want to grow up? Turn the table and ask them. Because, like, you know what I want to do when I grow up? Like, I don't ever want to grow up. That's the thing. Yeah. Like, I love mm-hmm. Peter Pan. Like, I'm the boy that never grew up. And, like, we just happen to sell millions and millions of dollars in baseball cards. Mm-hmm. And we can pay our bills from that. So, yeah, it's fun.
Well, and I know that I've seen the pictures of the building in Waupun where it started and yeah. where you guys have taken it. And it's beautiful. And we attended your grand opening, Joe and I did, and got to sit there with your kids who are handing out baseball cards, and they're a part of it.
Yeah, I think that's important. It's like, and I think I miss a lot of being a dad the last 5 years, to be honest. So a lot of it's trying to make up for that. But also we owe our little guy, Malik, he's 5 and a half now. If Malik wasn't born with a heart defect and wasn't born with Down syndrome, but just was born like the other three kids, I'd still be the director of buildings and grounds at the school district Fort Atkinson, without a doubt. And so we owe a lot to, you know, how we reacted to that situation. But, you know, it's fun to include them. It's fun when you own the company because you can take your kids with you and no one can say anything about it. But, yeah, it's they do a nice job. I see our kids work. Honestly, like, I see Malik someday being the president or, head role in our company and making a difference in that. And what's been fun is, like, through his stuff, we'll be able to use the company to, like, at the we have a, in a month, at the Dock Spiders, we're doing a, we're sponsoring a bobblehead.
Okay.
And it has the mascot in a blue and yellow ribbon. It's for a Down Syndrome Inclusion Night.
Okay.
Like, so we can use, like, because it's sponsored by Real Sports Cars, but, you know, whatever. We thought it'd be fun to do. We wanted to do it. And so so it's made a good chance. But yeah, our kids like hanging out there. It's a good place. You know, the thing is, people think of sports cards, you think of, like, selling to kids. Kids aren't our target market. They're not, like, we have plenty of products for kids. But we purposely, on those products, we don't make any money. Our target market is a 35 to 65 year old that makes over $100,000 a year. That's our target market. Mm-hmm.
Did you find that out simply by doing this business for so long, that was really your target market? That's your sweet spot?
Not really. No, I found it out because I used to be a customer and I could, I didn't make $100,000 working in a school district, believe it or not. And I would always like to buy in breaks, but I would see all these breaks fill and I would always buy like a cheap team. I'd always feel like, man, where do all these people buying all these cards, like, where do they get their money, you know? And so it's an expensive hobby. It's changed a lot in the last 6 years. And we still have stuff for the person making $40,000 a year. Like, there's still a place in this collection for them, but that's not what really moves the needle in what you do. And so to answer your question, you know, I was going to first answer your question, no, but I think over the time, probably, yeah, because you get to know your customers, you interact with them either online, but we've traveled a lot with this and you get to meet them, and maybe that's, you know, maybe it's a little bit of both, I think. But I think that's changed in sports cards, like pandemic. Pre-pandemic, I would have told you the target market was someone that made 40 to 60,000. But just the sheer price of a box of cards is really, and it's gone too high. It actually needs to come down, and it won't be a bad thing for us. Actually, it might be a good thing if prices drop, but I don't see that happening right away. Hmm.
So we've got a question from our peanut gallery over here.
So NFTs?
Yeah. What are your thoughts on sports card NFTs?
So that's an interesting concept. So if anyone doesn't know, they make I don't know who. Actually, Topps has done it for many years, but it wasn't real popular. They had a, what they call a Topps Bunt app, and it's basically a picture of a card, a digital card. Panini took it to a whole new level, and they call it blockchain. Their NFTs, they call it blockchain. You know, and then the NBA really went nuts on it as the they made little videos, and they started going crazy. What happened was after COVID, they did more shared revenue, and so then basically the NBA said to players, hey, we can increase your salary cap, but we need to make more money. And so one thing, they started with these little NFT videos, and so players started tweeting about them, and they pumped them up because, of course, they wanted to make more money. And they started going crazy. I know people that made a lot of money on it. I know people that lost a lot of money on it. Hmm. It's an interesting way to collect. I don't own any myself just because I get it, but I don't see the value in it myself. But I know a lot of people that do. And sports cards has come, it's in a weird spot in the last few years, because just like NFTs, a lot of people buy NFTs not to collect, but to flip and make money. There's a real caution of being an investor in sports cards. I mean, there's people that they spend their full-time job now investing in sports cards, and you can get smoked and you can do really well. People ask me daily for investment advice in sports cards, and I'm really hesitant to give it. I have invested some in sports cards I thought were undervalued and things like that, but you kind of treat it like a stock, you know, and your best stock expert is not right all the time. So you just got to be careful. The thing is that we really, really try to focus our business on is collectors. And I think that collectors, investors will come and go in any market, but people that collect and enjoy the hobby will always be there.
So throughout your story, you've said this a few times, that starting the business wasn't the hard thing. It was deciding to, you know, quit your job and make this business.
Yeah.
What did that take? I mean, was it a certain revenue, or what was it that made you say now's the time?
Yeah, I think it took, quitting a job just made sense. You know, you could do a spreadsheet and pros and cons of it financially, and it totally made sense. But the real hard part was when you want to go from, do I want to be Tom that breaks and does everything, or do I want to be a business owner and employ people? Once people quit their job to come work for your company and you're providing health insurance, you owe a lot to that person. You owe a lot. And so that was a hard part. And I think too, I'm a stubborn person to a fault. I think I can do everything sometimes. And so I think having to step back and saying, hey, I need to hire an accountant to take care of our daily things and question things, like, that's good. It's a good thing. I need to be able to not be there for a day and not have to question, are things getting shipped out right? Are we doing this? Or, you know, and that took a lot. It took a lot, because when you grow something, I mean, this is my baby, like my baby's only 5.5 years old. I'm not ready for it to go free, but, and I enjoy it too. So I've learned a lot about business going through the last year more than I did ever thought. So, but you know what, when I started this business, it was with a cell phone, and I got a credit card that had a $5,000 limit. And I remember like making purchases on that card. I remember one product in particular was, I got 5 cases, and a case of that card was like $800. I lost so much sleep because I'm like, if this product tanks, our family has no money. Like we could not afford a $5,000 family loss at that time. But I had to do it. I knew, like, but if it went good, and you calculate, well, at worst, I thought we'd lose a couple $100, right? I mean, that was a 2017 product. I bet that product right now sells for like 10 grand a case, looking back on it. But it's just, you learn a lot about risk, and you learn a lot about, like, it's okay to take risk. And don't, I guess, going back to what I was saying earlier, like, don't listen to the haters. Just, if you're confident, just do it.
Have you ever had a moment when you were breaking where you were really surprised by what you found? Like, was there a certain card that you remember being like, oh my gosh, this is here?
That's a great question. Yes. So the answer to that is very specific. I remember it was in our basement in Fort Atkinson, and it was 2018. I was like in the transition of like quitting my job. I already quit my job at the school district, but I was still working there for like 2 months that I worked there. You want to talk about an unmotivated employee. So actually, I did a lot of work there. But there's a product called Allen & Ginter. And I was working a lot. So I was, you know, I'd still know products, but I wouldn't. On this product in particular, it kind of came at me where usually I try to really get to know the checklist. And I didn't. I didn't spend that much time studying the checklist. So so we're going through the product. So you got to remember, 2018 at the time, our son, Malik, who has Down syndrome, is less than 2 years old. So we're still like, yeah, to be truthful, like a child, having a child with Down syndrome from 0 to 1 is no different than your other kids. They can't walk anyway. Mm-hmm. But at 1 year old, you start to see some differences. And as a parent, it's tough, man. And so you start seeing those differences. And so then you always wonder, like, what's our kid going to be? You know, I think every parent wonders that. So you have this, you're just like, well, is he going to have a job? Is he going to, you know, what are we going to do? You know? So we're breaking this product called Allen & Ginter in those 30 teams in Major League Baseball. So you have 30 teams, but the fun thing about Ginter, it's actually one of my favorite products, is there's non-baseball card players. Like, so you could have celebrity cards and autographs in there.
Oh, cool.
We've pulled like shark teeth out of it. It's kind of goofy. It's fun. So Allen & Ginter goes back over 100 years where they had cards of Native Americans in it and horses in it and all different stuff, right? So I'm going through and it's late. It's really late at night. I remember that. And I pulled an autograph card and it stopped me in my tracks. And it was Champ Peterson. And Champ is the older brother of Jock Peterson, who Jock's played for a couple teams. He's with the Giants now, but at the time he was with the Dodgers. And Champ Peterson happens to have Down syndrome. And it was autographed by Champ, and I was crying. I still get a little emotional. And it was funny. I knew the guy that got the card, and he goes, well, I guess Tom's going to pay me whatever I want for this card. And so obviously I bought that card, and it's one of my favorite cards in our collection. And I've bought a couple other Champ Peterson cards. But yeah, that was it's probably one of my favorite cards, and that really stopped me in my tracks.
That was a really touching story. So I'm going to move into our inspirational animal fact. That's our next segment here on the show. So this is, you know, Horicon Bank, we're the natural choice for banking. So that's not just a tagline. It's a commitment to being environmentally friendly, supporting environmental causes. So in that spirit, I'm going to give you a random animal fact that maybe you know, maybe you don't. And I'm going to ask you to turn it into a piece of inspirational advice. So here's your fact. Did you know that elephants are the only animal that can't jump?
I did know that.
Oh, Joe knew that.
I did know that. They're one of the few animals with knees as well. A lot of animals don't have knees.
I frankly can't jump either, so I'd like to argue that one. Inspirational, yeah, but you can't move them. You know, an elephant goes where they want to go. And there's really not much you can do about it. So that's my inspirational.
But I like it.
One of my favorite mascots is, if you know, the Oakland Athletics, is Stomper, the elephant.
Hmm.
So a couple of things. So when they were the Philadelphia A's, the baseball writer said that they ran, what's the owner? This is horrible. I can't remember his name. He ran his team like a circus. So the next day he had elephants walking the outfield.
Oh, my gosh. Training.
But when I was talking about my work history, when I worked for the Oakland A's in Arizona, that was, if you've seen the movie Moneyball,
yeah,
that was that year. And so during spring training, behind home plate, we had like a graphic you'd paint there. And so we had a big elephant with like the sun around it for spring training. And Billy Bean was always around, but his daughter, which is in Moneyball, mm-hmm. like she was always around the ballpark. And so I was painting it, and she like almost walked through it wet paint, but you can't really say anything. So actually, I'm like, "Hey, you want to help paint? You know, whatever." I didn't think she would, but she took it and she painted it. And then a bunch of photographers, like, so she was in the Sacramento Bee paper, is like, you know, so and so helping paint that day. And so, but I remember that Michael Lewis, the author of that book, he was around all spring training, and that was kind of cool because like there was backfields that no media could go to, but he could go everywhere, mm-hmm. and you weren't supposed to, like, you're just supposed to, he was there. So that was a fun experience. I have a lot of friends that I've made from there that I'm still very close with, and just being in Arizona is pretty fun.
So you mentioned your favorite one of your favorite mascots, but you've been in minor league baseball, and so you're familiar with all of these outlandish, off the wall team names. So give me your favorite or maybe your top two or three favorite minor league baseball team names.
Well, I mean, who doesn't love Trash Pandas?
I mean, yeah. Come on. Yeah. You worked for the Timber Rattlers organization, yep. And a couple of years ago, they did a one-game rebrand as the Wisconsin Utter Tuggers.
Utter Tuggers, yeah.
Yes. That's been I have that shirt. It's an aggressive-looking cow, utters out.
Yep, and, yep. My husband has a hat.
Yep, mm-hmm. It's a great logo. I think it was actually proposed for the Fond du Lac baseball team, which became the Dock Spiders, yep. But they thought maybe it was a little too edgy. But I remember going to that game, and it was a sellout. The traffic was backed up all the way to the interstate, and there were protesters outside the gate who were protesting the dairy industry, and they chose this as their platform to protest because it was Utter Tuggers rebrand night.
Yeah. So and they've done well with that.
Oh, yeah. 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 Well, you got a lot of folks. Grace and I grew up on a dairy farm, a family dairy farm. So there's a lot of heritage that, you know, there's some pride there when you talk about the, you know, our agriculture and our dairy background. So, but yeah, a lot of people get up in arms about those things.
Yeah.
All right. Before we wrap up the show, Tom, I'm going to ask you, do you have any piece of actionable advice that our listeners could take today, put it into action, something that you'd like them to know?
Sure. I think so many people come to me now. And so I never looked at myself as a successful entrepreneur. I just always looked at myself as a 12-year-old that plays with baseball cards. But a lot of people come to me in the last 2 years, especially since we built our building, about like, hey, I'm thinking about starting my business, but I don't know. And I said, what do you mean you don't know? Like, what do you mean you don't know? Like, well, you know, my wife is telling me this or my neighbor says this. I'm like, do you really care what they say? Like, I think the biggest thing is like, screw them. Like, I take all criticism and all doubt as the biggest fuel on my fire. And I still get it, which is hilarious. But don't listen to negativity. You know, surround yourself with smart people. Surround yourself with people that believe in you. But also don't be stupid about it. But also, you know, a lot of people say like, well, I want to be a millionaire. I'm like, when I started, I wanted to make $100 a week. You know, and so, you know, I had a friend, he wants to start a baseball card shop and he wants me to be part of it with them. And I said, well, okay. And he goes, well, yeah. He goes, you know, I really like it, but you know, I just love going to the lake every Saturday and Sunday. I'm like, well, I ain't getting in business with you, you know? So just, it's a lot of work and everyone says they work hard, but I don't just do it. Just do it and don't listen to the haters.
Well, Tom and Joe, I appreciate your time today. I loved hearing this story and love that it shows a positive light on what you can do when you set your mind to it, you know, what you commit your time to and the way that it really, your whole story involves your family and your kids, I think is amazing too. So I'm excited to see where Real Sports Cards goes in the future.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. To stay in the loop on all things banking on business related, visit horiconbank.com/bankingonbusiness and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.